you for coming out on this Memorial Day weekend. We realize that you probably had lots of people vying for your time, and appreciate you taking time to come here and celebrate with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
As you all know, my name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. And this morning's daily word is, in truth, I cannot fail. My divine nature, the truth of who I am, is not simply a presence within me. It is the very essence of every cell in my body, every thought in my mind. A sense of failure in any undertaking is a fear-based thought in my mortal mind. Whatever the appearance may be, there is always a lesson, a spiritual awareness that will support and encourage me as I make future choices. As long as I remember to claim the good in every choice I make, there can be no failure in my life experience. Today, I welcome every opportunity to make a creative choice that perfectly expresses my true spiritual self. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. And that's Romans 8:5. And let us remain seated while Mike and Karen lead us in surely the presence. And that's a little piece of paper in the front of your songbook if you don't have it memorized.
Yeah.
now remain standing so we can greet each other. Or we'd rather not, because it's the guy you're in.
That's what you said. Mary Kathleen. I only heard the Kathleen. You know, we only brought in $12 when we were there, so it wasn't very busy.
Email from Dave saying that was it about?
Reverend Terry had speakers available.
Reverend Terry from Unity of Olympia had speakers available. And that we should be in touch. But it came out of the blue, right? I mean, did anybody call Dave?
No.
It just comes in because when two or more are gathered, stuff gets done. So we get a card in the mail from Unity Northwest. It says, there is a pure and simple beauty to the ordinary rhythms of everyday lives, which, you know, kind of the same, right? Dear Unity in Lewis County, the Northwest region is grateful for your presence in our region. We behold love, life, and joy for your community. Monthly, we draw a Northwest region church name out of a box. That Unity community receives our tithe for that month. We are honored to send to your community the tithe for April. Thank you for being a blessing to many. Abundant blessings, your Unity Northwest Region Board.
Wow.
Including a check for $144.05. So we have to keep the Unity Board, Northwest Board, in our prayers for a while, and probably send them a thank you card. And I don't know what this type of thing will lead to, but here we go.
Ask about the speakers available.
Ask about, yes, see, there we go. Somebody's paying attention, thinking of things. We miss you, John.
Give me your address, I'll send them a card.
Yes, okay, we have an address. Yes, we have a P.O. box in Kingston, Washington.
Okay, I'll get it from you.
Thank you. Now, any other announcements? Besides, let's give it up for this lady in the back here. Setting up the rest stop. And it didn't hit home for me until today, but we got Memorial Day weekend, so there's probably a ton of people going through there.
They've been very busy during the day.
Indeed, indeed. Any other announcements? Just things to say? People to thank? Okay. Then we'll thank Susan for setting up all of the speakers and the platform people and the readers and everything else. Besides the awesome display of color and blooming life outside.
Well, let's all thank Tom for edging the lawn this weekend. It's a lot of hard work.
Johnny for mowing it each and every week.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah. All right. Yes?
And for those who are addicted, I made a pot of coffee downstairs.
Yay! We love taking care of those things. And there are regularly scheduled activities located on the calendar hanging up in the hallway downstairs. Please join me in the Unity Statement in your program. We will say it together. Not separately, together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service and be conscious of our oneness in God. And please stand for our song of joy, In the Presence of the Lord.
So we will do this in call and response.
Yeah. Contains just one profound idea. Stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. But how many ways can it be used? How many different situations can it be applied? And how exactly does one practice the golden key? Well, this booklet is about the golden key and how it's practiced by many people. So I'm going to read one small section. With my mind on good. By Reverend Mark Buss. No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. This quote, attributed to physicist Albert Einstein, gets directly to the heart of the Golden Key. Take your mind off the problem and put it on God instead. The Golden Key is about a shift in consciousness. When I'm in the middle of a crisis, wrestling with a problem and my thoughts a stormy mess, my solutions and often my behavior seem forced and reactive. There is a clenched and brutal feeling to life. Only when I can breathe, calm my mind and heart, and center myself to do creative options open before me. When I can rise above the fear and doubt clouding my understanding of the problem and put my mind on God instead, then the wisdom, understanding, and imagination of the universe are available to me. Instead of clenched and brittle, the feeling becomes one of openness and flow. The problem may still be present, but my response is coming from a different place. In unity, we honor the many names for God. We speak of God as spirit, divine mind, principle, substance, the universe, and my favorite, good. For me, the golden key is this. I take my mind off the problem and put it on good instead. The good in which I live and move and have my being. I allow gratitude to flow over and through my being with my attention and my consciousness on good. Now, I will admit that using the golden key to make this shift in consciousness is often not my first response. When a problem arises, how do I get to good? How do I get to that place in consciousness where I can rise above the fears, doubts, and feelings that sometimes threaten to overwhelm me? Well, I have a go-to song. A simple chant that takes me there. The chant, I am so blessed, is by my friend Karen Drucker. This chant brings me to good, to gratitude. When I'm confused, hurting, angry, or fearful, these simple words sung in my head or aloud lift me into a consciousness of good. Take your mind off the problem and put it on God, on good instead. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8.
Thank you. And now please remain seated for our meditation song, the words of which are right here.
From error. For I am
speaker each Sunday of the month. This morning, back from 7 weeks in Italy. Anathoth.
Welcome. Don't you dare. It'll shut off the projector.
Oh, it'll shut off the projector. If we turn off these lights, it shuts off the projector.
Oh, I see.
It's okay, we can see.
It'll warm up. It'll get darker.
Oh, it'll get darker. Okay. I'll trust you then. I did just get back from Italy. I was there 7 weeks. And,
yes.
Hi.
That's better.
I did just get back from Italy after 7 weeks being there. And I'll give you a little brief overview of the trip before I start the pictures. So I flew into Rome, and I was in Rome for 2 days. And when I visited Rome in the past, I always stay at this hostel called the Beehive. And one of the reasons is it's very close to the Termini, the train station, so I just get in and walk 2 blocks, and I'm home. The other thing about the Beehive is it is run by an American couple. They've had it for 20 years, and they really do try to encourage community among the travelers that stay there. They have a little cafe where they serve and sell breakfast in the morning. And it's really structured for community. So where I was staying, I had a private room, but there was a large community room where you could also, there was a refrigerator, and if you wanted, you could heat something up. But people, travelers, would gather around the table and talk and share stories. And that was very nice. So I spent 2 days, the first 2 nights in Rome, just to kind of acclimate. And then from there, I went to Lucca, which is a small town in Tuscany, in the district of Tuscany. And I had already registered for 4 weeks of Italian lessons in the Lucca Italian Language and Culture School. So I was in Lucca for 4 weeks, and I really got to know the town and make friends with the neighbors there in my neighborhood, and also got to know my fellow students well. And then from Lucca, I took the train to Spoleto, which is a very small, very old town, about an hour's drive south of Assisi. I had always wanted to go there. The town is ancient. The streets are so narrow, you could barely get a cart with horses drawn through them. So I went to Spoleto. I spent 5 nights in Spoleto. I made my arrangements ahead of time, which I usually don't do. So I had already made reservations for the places I was going to stay. And one of the ways that I did that is I went through a site called Monastery Stays. And so you might imagine that the monasteries now are not receiving as many sisters and brothers and nuns and monks as previous. And so they are renovating the rooms of monasteries and adding more up-to-date bathrooms. And they are renting these places out for pilgrims, for travelers. And so I booked 5 nights at a monastery in Spoleto. San Ponzione. So I was in Spoleto for 5 nights, and then from there I went to Pescara to stay with my cousins. I have cousins on my mother's mother's side that live in a town, Pescara, which is on the Adriatic Sea, and also some live a little south of there in a tiny town on the Adriatic called San Vito Marina. So I stayed 5 nights with my cousin Natalia and Ettore and their two children, Sofia and Pietro. Natalia is a cousin by marriage. She's Russian, and she married my Italian cousin Ettore, and they used to live part of the time in St. Petersburg and part of the time in Italy, and now they stay all their time in Italy. And she actually is a professor at the university in Pescara, and she teaches Russian to Italian students. So after 5 nights with them, I went to Assisi for 4 nights and again stayed in a monastery. And then from there, went back to Rome for 2 nights and then back home. So that was the trip. Now the first slide is of these beautiful peppers. I was kind of in awe of how almost every block there was a little produce market. And the produce was just this fresh. Whoops, that's not what I want to do. What am I doing wrong? Left? Oh, left. Oh, okay. Thank you. So I took pictures of this produce from, this was in Lucca. This was 2 blocks from where I was staying. And when I first walked in, I thought, well, I'm going to buy some tomatoes. And so I saw, you know, 2 different kinds. I was trying to decide between these two, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Well, no, there's some other kind. Oh, my God, there were like 22 different kinds of tomatoes and peppers. And so I went frequently. When I stayed in Lucca, I stayed with a young couple. And I thought I would have the homestay experience and be speaking Italian and have that exchange. But we had very different schedules. He worked, and in the evening they were gone. So, but I had use of the kitchen, so I was doing my own cooking in Lucca. So I would frequent this particular produce market for my vegetables. Left, you're saying. Yes. Okay. I took lots of pictures of doors. I do that when I travel anywhere because I like the metaphor of doors being an opening in life. And so this is in Lucca, some of the doors were just this extravagant, and then some were very simple. But what I loved about this particular door was obviously they had saved this door. I mean, the door is much older than the surface that is around it. And I found that a lot in Italy, people would go out of their way to preserve and save anything that was ancient, even something very small. Now, I liked this picture because you see how narrow the rim is there along the bottom of the window, and yet people want to put a little bit of color and flowers, potted flowers, out. And here's laundry day in Lucca. This is several floors up. A lot of the pictures are of Lucca because I spent so much time there. So Luke, the thing that's wonderful about Lucca is it's one of the few towns that has the city wall from the Middle Ages completely intact. So there were many, there were several of these gates that were openings into the smaller but oldest part of town, and what connected the gates was this wall, and you'll see pictures where the wall is on top. It's quite wide and lined with trees, and people walk it every day and bike on it, and I walked it every day. But this is one of the gates. Okay, there was a parade in Lucca. Here's the man with the falcon. I was quite enamored with the falcon. And the little girl. Now, this parade is, I mean, it was hysterical to me, the reason for it. But anyway, so it was a big deal. I mean, everyone in Lucca came out for this parade, and people were dressed up, as you can see, and there were lots and lots of people marching, and these men with these crossbows. There's the falcon dude again. This parade that everyone came out for, that was such a big deal, commemorated Lucca's freedom from the tyranny of the city of Pisa back in the Middle Ages or sometime. So the little city of Pisa, apparently, when there were city-states, had conquered Lucca and had ruled Lucca. And so finally, the Lucchese won the battle against the people from Pisa. And so this was a big deal. It would be like us having a parade because we won our freedom from Tacoma or something. Yeah. Cheese. So this was at a market that they had up on the wall. And people from other towns, I think, came also. This was also in Lucca. And there were all kinds of vendors. Cheese, there was produce, there was cookies, there were art, there were handicrafts. And the thing I most remember about this market was I was walking with my friend Joanne. I had just met her. She was a student at the school and from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she had been going to Lucca for 7 years, and so she knew about this market and told me I should come. Well, I was chewing on a cookie, and I felt something hard in my mouth. And I said, "Oh my God, Joanne, I've lost my crown." So I had lost the crown to my tooth, and the next day had to, in Italian, explain to my teacher my situation. So she referred me to her dentist, and I spent a fair amount of time at the dentist while I was in Lucca. I keep doing that. Whoops. I don't want to go that direction. Left. I'm doing left. I think I'm doing left. What if I just do that?
There you are.
Oh, I can click this. Oh, cool. So if I click that, no. Yep. And then how do I click it back? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, okay. Somehow I don't have it. No, you're good. Okay, and so this was just, these were just the spices at the market. Whoops, wrong way. Now, when I was in Lucca, I took a shortcut to school. I walked to school every morning, about a 20-minute walk. And they were turning this old monastery into a school, into a college. And once again, as they were rebuilding this, to show you how any little bit of antiquity that could be preserved was preserved. So this was frescoes in this monastery now being turned into a school, and every little piece of antiquity was being preserved. This is the wall in Lucca that surrounds the old town of Lucca, and I lived in the old section. So on one side of the wall, the wall's up high, so on one side you could see the new extended Lucca, and on the other side the old town, and you can see how wide it is, and the people walk it every day and ride their bikes. I took a lot of pictures of this kind of scene, also kind of enamored with these old paintings of Jesus on the tit of Mary. And one of the reasons why I'm so enamored with them is because this same image, usually in statue form, is the image of Isis, the Egyptian goddess, with her son. This kind of thing happened all the time in Lucca. There would just be this spontaneous, you know, oh my God, there's a symphony in the middle of the street, or there'd be an opera singer, or there'd be like a flash mob. I mean, it would be anything, you know. It would just be free entertainment on the streets. This artist, quite amazing. He is painting in chalk on the pavement, something that would be washed away with the next rain. He doesn't have any pail out collecting coins. He's simply working from his heart for whoever cares to see. And that's also in Lucca at Piazza San Michele, which was just a couple blocks from where I was staying. This church again, Piazza San Michele. Most of these piazzas, there were a number of them, had either a church or a fountain in the middle of them, and then around would be cafes, gathering places, the pharmacy, the produce market, the gelateria, and people would just walk the circle. These are my classmates. So the man sitting down with the mustache, Angelo, is actually the director of the school, the Lucca Italian Language and Culture School. On either side of me are my teachers. In the back, Larry from the Philippines, the next gal from, she's American, but she married a man from Great Britain and lived in London. Then Janet, who was married to Brian, the man with the plaid shirt. They were very interesting. They were Americans, but they had spent the last 17 years in China. He taught English, and they had adopted two Chinese daughters who were in the Italian class, another class in the same school, and they had decided they were going to make their home in Lucca. So they had just, we were congratulating them because they had just signed a lease for a year on a home in Lucca. The woman in the blue from Switzerland and the other woman from Germany. Now, as part of the school, they had different cultural events, and one of them was a cooking class. So I signed up for this cooking class. They took us out into the Tuscan hillside to this vineyard. And the woman in red there is one of the teachers at the Lucca School, Eva. I loved her. And they are showing us how to prepare this four-course meal. And it was really a lot of fun. Now, I probably want to pause here and say something about food in Italy, meals in Italy. So that was maybe one of the harder things for me. This is how Italians eat. So for breakfast, you have espresso, coffee, and a slice of cake. Or, you know, a croissant with icing and vanilla pudding in the middle of it. And then you don't eat again until 2 o'clock, 1 or 2 o'clock, when you have your main meal. You have the pasta and the vegetables and the salad and the bread and whatever you're having. And then maybe around 3 o'clock you might have some gelato, but basically you don't eat again until 8 or 9 o'clock. I was starving all the time. And I would go to the restaurant thinking, well, I will get it. No, the restaurant's closed until 7. So one time when I was at the Beehive, now the Beehive, remember, it's an American couple that runs it, so they understand how Americans eat. And so in the cafe, I could order a couple of scrambled eggs for breakfast and a piece of toast. So I did that, and there was a young Italian man there having his espresso and his slice of cake for breakfast. And I said, you know, it's one thing I've never really, can never get used to in Italy is having coffee and cake for breakfast. And I said, at home, I like to have a couple of scrambled eggs. He goes, oh, no. Oh, no, eggs are much too heavy to eat in the morning. And then he said, if you have eggs for breakfast, what do you have for lunch? I didn't know how to answer that question. Well, I don't have eggs. I don't know. It was interesting. So at this gathering, they had picked us all up at 3 in the afternoon, and we went to this vineyard, and we did all this cooking. We didn't eat till 9 o'clock. By then, I had already had 3 glasses of wine. And I was like, where is the bread, people? So anyway, but it was fun. This is a gem that I just found under a bridge in Lucca. I was like, oh my God, I just love this. So then I went to Spoleto. This is Spoleto, a little town in the hills, in the mountains. Their streets are like this, narrow streets. This is Carmen's store. Carmen, so I'm walking this narrow street in Spoleto, and I see this store with these items in it, these old objects of art from all over the world, and I'm naturally drawn in. Had a conversation with Carmen, the woman who owns it, and she was like, this is my passion, I travel all over the world, I buy these pieces of art and I sell them. Right away, we discovered that we had both been to Syria, and that just made us be best friends from the get-go. So after that, she invited me to dinner at her house the next night, showed me all around Spoleto. She was my best friend, and there's Carmen. We did a little selfie shot. This is the entrance to the monastery I was staying in, San Ponzione, in Spoleto. And the monastery had a church, and the church had a crypt. And I am very enamored with crypts. So you go down under the church, and you're in the sort of cave-like place. You can see how ancient that altar is. And many of the older churches have these crypts. This one was beautiful. I tried to imagine, 1,000 years ago, which is probably how old this church was, the people there having mass around this altar. More of the crypt. And this is a crypt in a different church. Now, these were my friends, Leah and Adam. So I met Leah and Adam in Spoleto, and they were staying at the same monastery. And they were on a pilgrimage. They were on a 2-week pilgrimage walking the steps of St. Francis. This is her 15-year-old son. I said, well, how many children do you have? She said, I have 8 children, 6 living. And she was one of the most beautiful, most spiritual women I knew, very devoutly Catholic. And I wish I had more time to tell you her story. But anyway, she lived on a farm. She homeschooled her children. Her husband did some kind of tile work, and so Dad and Grandma were taking care of the other kids at home, which were from age 2 to, I don't know, 18. And so she could do this pilgrimage. And she lived in eastern Washington in the Metau Valley. That's where their farm was. Floors. I was enamored with floors in churches. Look at these floors. Close up of the floor. I have this fantasy that the people who made these floors said a prayer for each piece of tile that they laid down. Beautiful, beautiful floors in churches. Okay, so now I'm in Pescara with my cousins. That's Pietro and his girlfriend Julia and sister Sophia. And they took me to this cemetery, which is a Canadian cemetery. And it was the Canadian men who died in World War II. Cousins Angela and Sylvia, cousins Concetta and her mother Francesca. Isn't Francesca beautiful? She's 86 years old. I tried to do a selfie with her. She's, no, it's too close. So this is Pietro, Natalia, I mentioned, and at the end of the table, Ettore and Sophia in their home where I stayed. And Natalia and I. Now, Natalia took me to two little towns, old monasteries. In the hills, this is the district of Abruzzi. And more floors, beautiful floors. And she took me hiking, so we went along this creek and waterfall. Then I went to Assisi. So when I went to Assisi, I had booked a stay in a monastery, and while I was on my trip, I got an email saying, oh, you know, those days won't work for that monastery. Do you mind staying in a different one? And I'm like, we'd like to suggest this other one. And I'm like, fine, just give me a room. So I really didn't know the monastery I would be staying at. But I showed up, and Sister Mathilde showed me to my room. She opened the shutters, and I looked out my window, and this is what I saw.
My goodness.
And that is the St. Francis Cathedral in Assisi. Another view. And this is breakfast with fellow travelers in the monastery. Again, you can see pretty simple. Maybe you get a piece of fruit, but it's basically coffee and a roll. And this is Sister Mathilde. She was kind of a one-woman show, as far as I could tell. She did everything. She greeted me. She showed me my room. She was there at breakfast. She was trimming the bushes outside. The sweet thing about her, well, there are many sweet things about her. She only spoke Italian, but she knew everything she was saying because she was so expressive, and she acted things out. And so my first night at the monastery, I got up early, well, I don't know, 6 o'clock, and I was ready to go. I was dressed. I went downstairs. And I knew breakfast wasn't until 8. I just went down and sat in the lobby. Sister Mathilde showed up, and she said in Italian, did I want to come to Mass? And I said, yes, I want to come to Mass. So she motioned me to follow her. I got into the car. There were two elderly sisters in the back and Sister Mathilde and I up front, and she drove the short distance to the cathedral because the two nuns were too elderly to walk it. And I went to Mass, and I was the only lay person there. It was all the sisters and the brothers. It was all in Italian. But I felt very, very blessed and very grateful that she had invited me. When I left, she picked me a rose, gave it to me. So what I did, that was all the church I did in Assisi, was go to that Mass. So the best thing to do in Assisi, if you ever go, is go hiking. And I felt like this is what St. Francis was about anyway. He wasn't about the cathedral. He was about nature. and being with the animals. So there's some fabulous hikes outside of Assisi. This is one of them. These are the views. This is the view of the cathedral from down below on the trail. It runs along a river. So I met these two gals, Patricia and Liz, partners, from Canada. So I invited them to go hiking with me. And we learned about another trail. There's an evening view from my window. We learned about this other trail, and it was a 3-hour hike from the city of Assisi to the town of Spello. And so we went on this hike, and it was much like this. Very well marked, sheep, beautiful wild poppies under the vineyards, and here's the town of Spello. So we got to Spello and wandered around a bit, had a wonderful lunch, and then took the train back. The train was like 30 minutes, so 3 hours there and 30 minutes back. These are some of the streets in Spello. This is Rome, so I'm finishing my journey. I'm back in Rome for 2 nights before I leave. And typical, the old with the new in Rome. The Colosseum, of course. And I had to take this shot of the tourists, thousands of them. And I found a way to escape the tourists. I found a quiet church in Rome. And the final picture is a picture of the altar. And those are my pictures. Thank you so much for listening to all of that and seeing them. I hope there was some remnant of spiritual teaching there. But, you know, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now for our offering, there will be two containers. The silver one is for supporting our center, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program, and let's say it together as we hold our offerings in our hand. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. Group healing energy for someone, just call out their name hold them quietly in our hearts. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Let's say our prayer of protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or, of course, on the wall to your right. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And let's be sure to express our thanks for all of the people who made this Sunday so wonderful. Glorious flowers, the music, the words, the wonderful food downstairs. Thank you, each and every one of you, for coming here today and sharing yourselves with all of us. Let's form a circle, join hands, and sing our song.
Let it be.